it together.
March Madness is almost upon us. We got a big contest coming up. What a way to start this show. Giveaways. Hope you had a great weekend. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation and beyond the borders as well. While we have giveaways and fun and frivolity to talk about, we also have some very sobering news. What happened in Afghanistan, just awful, and I think is going to lead to, unfortunately, more blowback for our soldiers and other NATO forces, which is why, once again, we got to get out of Afghanistan. Tensions couldn't be higher between, let's just take the U.S. and that country. You had a soldier who left a base and took weapons, went into, at 3 in the morning on Sunday, went to two villages about 15 miles or so from Kandahar. The village is about 500 yards from the base in that area, and decided that he, I mean, lost it, I think, decided he was going to shoot people in the houses that he went to house. He went into a couple of homes, three, four homes, set fire to some of the bodies. 11 of the dead were from a single family. 9 of the victims were children. You had villagers who were just cowering in fear, gunshots ringing out all over the place. The soldier methodically stalked, supposedly, house after house after house, firing on the people inside. The shooter is known right now as an Army Staff Sergeant out of Washington State. He supposedly acted alone when he left and, as I said, started opening fire on these families. Initial reports said that he returned to the base after the shooting and turned himself in. However it happened, whether the patrol unit stopped him and then they took him, he's in custody at a base, at a NATO base in Afghanistan. And Hamid Karzai, the president of that country, has gone wild, saying that it's, you know, it's unacceptable and horrendous, and he's talked about innocent civilians being killed in the past. You have President Obama releasing a statement about how sad this is and condolences to the families and the people who lost their lives of Afghanistan, who have had to weather too much violence and suffering, and they're looking into it. They're getting the facts as quickly as they can and holding accountable anyone who's responsible. But I think by saying we'll hold anyone responsible accountable for this is just not enough. What can we possibly do? The answer is nothing. The guy lost his mind and did this. I think that's what's going to happen when they go through the investigation. So you apologize. You have him there. And there's nothing more you can really do than just continue to soften that blow in some way. I don't think it's going to work. The Taliban already using this information. It's perfect with the propaganda machine in full swing, saying here's what happens. And it's like 50 people, and there were a couple of soldiers involved. And unfortunately, the appalling incident certainly does not represent some of the incredible work that so many people have done over there under some tough conditions, crazy conditions, with rules of engagement that are ridiculous and some other things that I certainly have gone off on before here on ATN. Now it's even more apparent to me. You had the top commander in Afghanistan, General Allen, who said that he's dedicated to making sure that anyone who's found have committed any kind of wrongdoing is held fully accountable. And they might be shocked, saddened, talk about accountability, but I don't think this is going to cut it. It's, like I said, tailor-made for the Taliban to use this. And when I think of the poor soldiers that were assassinated, I am scared to death for some of the others that are there now. To be honest, really, they are sitting ducks. And this is why we need to leave Afghanistan. And this is perfect for the Taliban to be able to take over it, because it's a chaotic, terrible situation, and they're going to do that to the best of their ability. They're going to do that. Here's what James Cunningham had to say about the situation and how awful it is, and offering families any condolences he could.
We're saddened by this violent act against our Afghan friends. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families and their entire community. The United States extends its deepest condolences to the families of the victims of today's tragic shooting incident in Kandahar province. We are committed to an enduring relationship with Afghanistan to obtain greater peace and security in the region, which is our common interest. We deplore any attack by a member of the U.S. Armed Forces against innocent civilians and denounce all violence against civilians.
There you have it. You can bet we'll be talking about those shootings and the questions over this throughout this week here on ATN. Another thing that we'll be questioning as I seg into a painful thing that is happening across the country that selfishly has nothing to do with the loss of innocent lives, but has to do with something that could affect the elections. Gas prices have jumped up at least 12 cents in the last 2 weeks, depending on where you live. The average for regular is now $3.81. You know, they do the Lundberg survey every week, and that's what they have it pegged at. So what does that mean? David shot us a little email and says, hey, in Florida, they're over $5, which I've got family there. I'm well aware of that. My brother drives back and forth between Orlando and Tampa. It's like an hour and a half, something like that. Imagine the gas that he uses. So people that are commuting 40 minutes an hour a day each way, oh, you are feeling it, my friends. 30 cents in the last 4 weeks, if you're keeping track of this. We did a thing on the show talking about, do you remember the cheapest you ever paid for gas? How about, do you remember the highest that you've ever paid for gas? For a lot of people listening to my voice right now, this may be some of the highest that you've ever paid when you pulled up to fill up. It might be the highest. If, depending on how old you are, how long you've been driving and that kind of stuff, I'm thinking for a lot of people, this is the high water mark. Los Angeles, $4.35. Some of the lowest, though, $3.36 in Denver. Lowest. Still doesn't sound very appealing, does it? But $4.36, that's regular. So if you're really hitting it hard with premium, oh, you are paying through the nose for that stuff. Oh. In Philadelphia, $3.76. But if you go across the bridge in Jersey, you can get it for $3.49. Some other hot spots, always Chicago, $4.08. And in Seattle, they're paying $4 two. So people are not happy with this. If you're listening to me now and you're cruising, you're driving down the road, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's the same thing that we keep repeating. You have to open up some of the moratoriums. You have to create more ways to get the gas, to then refine the gas, or come up with solutions to get around this. And, you know, a lot of this is speculation, though. So a lot of this is driven by the market, and you can put it on their shoulders because they're laughing all the way to the bank. All right, speaking of money, we're going to talk a little business. What do you invest in when times are like this? That's next on ATN.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Extend your life with Extend-O-Vite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend-O-Vite.
Walks barely down the street with the people way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one down, and another one down. Another one bites the dust, yeah. I'm gonna get you too, but another one bites the dust.
All right, we're back here on America Tonight. It's your business. Yep, it's all about trying to figure out how do you maneuver this, not the system, but how do you, I'm going to say it, how do you game the system so that you can actually make a profit? Joyce Blonsky joins us now. It's pretty difficult, though, for a lot of people in with the way things are, so up and down. I was just talking about oil, for example. I know some people that have some oil, and they're very happy about these gas prices, unlike the rest of us. Joyce, thanks for swinging late with us. We appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
You know what? Is it, when we look at where we are, what do you do? I mean, do you just, do you go across all sectors and try to figure out when you look at the economy, okay, how do, where do I need to drill deeper? Where do I see the future? What, are we looking at technology? What are we looking at?
I do drill down and look at all sectors, but I've been doing it for so long, it's like tying your shoe to me. I pretty much know where I need to zig and zag. But technology is definitely, and energy is definitely a couple of the sectors that I'm very interested in now.
So when you say energy, is it, I mean, it can be all different kinds of energy, right? You can look at companies that are solar. You can look at somebody, you can look at nuclear. You can look at all kinds of energy-related companies, right?
Yeah, but within the different sectors, some are moving and some aren't, and some are flat, and others are really skyrocketing. So even within the industry of energies, you have to know kind of what's moving and what's making hay and what's not.
I like that. What's making hay and what's not. You, by the way, have written a book called Own the Clouds. What do you mean by own the clouds?
Just that. I'm talking about cloud computing companies and how to find tomorrow's Googles and all those silver-lined clouds in the world of technology and finance.
So give us a little hints, because I bet there's people that – there's some people that understand what the cloud is, like they have an iPhone like I do, and they realize what the whole idea of the backing up the information, all that kind of stuff. But I guarantee there's a lot of people that are saying, whoa, what are they talking about, cloud computing? What is that?
You're absolutely right. The book came about as a way to explain what clouds are to my clients so we'd have a better understanding of moving forward and investing. And for those that are going, okay, what is she talking about, white fluffy things? And it's like, no. Cloud and cloud computing is a fancy way of basically saying the internet and all things wireless. It's really a very creative buzzword that somebody who should have a corner penthouse on some fabulous place needs to have, because you really came up with a great terminology. But basically, when you are working on your computer and you have a program that's installed there, you are not in the cloud. But as soon as you hit, like on an email, you hit send, or you hit, you know, your cell phone and make a call, as soon as you connect to the internet or use any wireless device, you are in the clouds.
Yes, that's a great explanation. You're in the clouds once you do that. I bet you, though, for you, when you're explaining it to clients, I love that. I'm sure at first it's like, wait, back up a few steps here. it's an easy explanation, but it sounds, I don't know what it sounds, for some people to make the leap to technology. You know this, Joyce, because with people you deal with, some people get it right away. Anybody 30 or under, they get it. I'm not saying that anyone that's 40 or 50 or even 60, I'm not saying they don't necessarily pick it up, but I think it's harder for older people to grasp the technology at first, don't you?
You know, I do, and when I was writing the book, I actually asked a couple of my old-timers if I could use them as my guinea pigs, and one of them is a retired school principal, so I figured he would catch on pretty quickly, and he kind of shook his head, and I said, read a couple pages, read a chapter or two, and let me know what you think. Gosh, he came back to me, and he said, wow, I could really get behind this and embrace it, and he says, the first thing I thought of, now this was kind of funny, he said, I'm going to buy this book for my kids, because we all need to be on the same page, and we can work together to kind of plan for my grandchildren. So I was thrilled that, you know, I actually was able to make sense for people who are technically challenged on, you know, moving forward into the future and where technology is going to take us.
Yeah. That's a great explanation. And, you know, it's I used to do a TV thing, an IPTV thing, that we were talking about small cap companies and where we were headed in the future, and what we were, then we would look at blue chippers and that kind of stuff. And Apple then was a song, and now you see where Apple is. It really is about, and it's not, doesn't take you necessarily a lot of money. I think you say this maybe in your book, but certainly I know this, that if you just put a $100 into Microsoft back in 1986, it's worth, what, $40,000 today. That's $100.
Yep, that's $100. And, you know, I had 100 shares of Microsoft back in 1986 for the initial public offering, and I could not sell that to save my life. It's true. I mean, back then, every secretary had a typewriter. We weren't doing, there was no such thing as a word program. Whiteout was as prevalent as pen and paper. Nobody knew what software was. I had a hard time getting my head around what it was. And so you're trying to talk to people about what the heck software is. And I ended up using underwear to kind of help me sell my stock. And people go, you use underwear? I go, yeah, because that's the one thing people can figure out. Nobody sees it. You figure you've got it on. Tomorrow morning you start with a brand new pair. Software is kind of the same thing. It's in your computer and nobody sees it. It's running like crazy behind the scenes. When you shut your computer off, tomorrow you start with a fresh new software operating system and off you go.
Yeah. The Facebook IPO, how big do you think that's going to be?
I've actually had, I'm starting a list of my clients who are wanting to get at least some information. I look at it as it's a wonderful opportunity for people who get in on the initial public offering. I think the jury is out whether they're going to hype that a little too much, but we'll see. I think Mark Zuckerberg is been a very brilliant young man. He's got a great company, and I am looking forward to that IPO. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting looking where Facebook was and where that's come, and now where some what some of the competitors are doing. And you know, you look at the brilliance of Google. I mean, was Google just that's the golden goose? I would have loved to have some Google. You could have, imagine what 100 of Google will be as it clicks along.
Oh yeah, and really a lot of your listeners are probably thinking, well, it's too late. It's never too late.
No.
There are some amazing opportunities out there right now.
Yeah. I agree with you. You just have to watch. All right, Joyce, if people want to get your book, because we should say that all of the profits from the book, is that right, are going to be donated to some charities, local and national charities?
Yep, it is true. I decided last March that I didn't write this book to profit from it, and so many families and charities are struggling that I just decided I would give my proceeds starting with the Kiwanis Family House and the Ronald McDonald House and Shriners here, and then food banks. And I'm going to be the Oprah Winfrey of Sacramento and California and just be very philanthropic with my proceeds.
Yeah, good for you. Joyce, thanks so much. Pick up her book, Own the Clouds. We'll talk to you again in the future.
I hope so. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too. All right, she gave you some good tips if you listened in there. The idea is people, if you're hearing us talk about stocks, and people have this idea in their head, well, if it's, how much do I don't have that kind of money. You hear the example we gave, the $100 in Microsoft and what it would be worth, just $100 if you just sat on that, because, geez, you don't have a lot of money. Who does have all this spare thousands and thousands of dollars laying around? You don't have to have that much to start. You just have to keep it in there, leave it in there, and watch what happens. And that's something, you know, $100, can you afford to put $100 into an investment? So the examples that she gave you with the clouds, with things that are happening in the future and the internet, that's stuff absolutely to look for when you're trying to comb through technology. All right, so that's For Your Business. We move from that to coming up in our next segment, the weekly re-rack. We're talking a lot of politics naturally with the Republicans and what happened with Super Tuesday and moving forward. So we're going to continue down that thread. And in our weekly re-rack, that's part of the conversation with Tracy Davis, focusing on some of the things that she did in the past, what she's seeing in politics, and a little bit about the current state of the Republican Party. Stay with us.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, oregacillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet payment when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe. 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Of course, we've circled this day on the calendar for a very long time. March 6th, Super Tuesday, how big it is, all the delegates at stake, looking at Ohio. Could Ohio be any bigger? And the tug of war between Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney, and what happens ultimately to Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich. Very pleased to welcome to the show Tracy Davis, a Republican political strategist and former speechwriter for President George Bush. Tracy, thanks for popping on the air. We know it's a busy one, and we appreciate that time.
Oh, no problem. Glad to be here.
So, first of all, looking at Super Tuesday, this has been really a wild couple of months at the start of primary/caucus season. I was in New Hampshire, and prior to New Hampshire, I got to be honest with you, and maybe it's because all the conversations that I was having, it was establishment, Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney, and I really thought that this was it. He nails it Super Tuesday, and open, shut, done, history. Now I'm not so certain. What do you think?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, just the fact that that Gingrich has come back, you know, we all knew he'd win Georgia, but he seemed, from that speech, completely fired up to keep going. And, you know, he does very well in the South. And just like we could tell from South Carolina, he can practically win a whole state in 5 minutes when he's on.
Yeah.
You know, just like when he did that attack to the media and he got all of that applause and really turned things around there. And he, you know, I don't think that he has a chance of winning the nomination, because I think no matter what, it will seem like he's a regional candidate, and I don't think he could possibly get enough delegates. But he keeps things interesting, and he would stay in. Ron Paul has no reason to leave, and Santorum's doing well so far tonight.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Is it a two-man race, though? Because you just said it about the regional thing with Gingrich. Do you think it is boiled down now to Santorum and Romney?
Well, not yet, because, I mean, I said that people could perceive it to be, you know, because even with next week, I think it's Alabama and Mississippi, even if he won those, it's just all in the South. But like when Gingrich gets his momentum, you just don't know what's going to happen. And and that's why Super Tuesday is so confusing this time. Usually, you know, somebody comes out that you think is definitely going to be the winner. And it just doesn't seem like, because this whole process has been so differently done. For one thing, having the proportional, you know, having so many states, mm-hmm. the states before April 1st be proportional. Mm-hmm. Has made it so that even when you lose a state, you get delegates. So that has made it tougher for just one person to emerge. And then also these super PACs.
Oh, yeah. And what a game changer the super PACs have been, because you just don't know how much money is going to be dumped into what direction.
First, and to me, I really can't believe that the Supreme Court went for the super PACs, because to me, it just seems so kind of anti-American that you know, you could get your huge advantage and win due to how much money you get in your super PAC.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was surprising. I mean, I don't care what your stripes are, Republican or Democrat. I think it was surprising to a lot of people that they went in that direction. But for now, we're living with it.
Right.
In looking at the campaign overall, the campaigns, the former First Lady, Barbara Bush, said the other day when she was endorsing Mitt Romney that this is the worst campaigning that she has ever seen, talking about the backbiting and the sniping and all that sort of stuff. But this has been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You said Barbara Bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I was the speechwriter for President Bush 41, so
yeah.
Her husband. And it was a nightmare. I mean, it was horrible. And the Clinton, you know, against Bush, there was, I don't know if it was said as much, but there was real, not only dislike and anger and frustration, and definitely just, and you know, when they, I mean, Bozo doesn't sound so bad, but it really was vicious. And when Pat Buchanan first came in and pulled, you know, and during the primary and embarrassed the president, you know, because he was president, and, you know, forced him sort of to go farther to the right. And then we got Ross Perot, who was in just as, you know, a revenge against Bush. That was a dirty, dirty campaign.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's easy to forget, though. When it's in your rearview mirror, it's easy to forget and say, well, that is the worst I've ever seen.
Well, it's so funny because now, you know, that Clinton and Bush are such good friends. And I think that's one of the things that's so great about American politics is that, you know, we move beyond these things instead of having the person killed or something. But it was really, really, really bad at the time.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it wasn't a piece of cake with Clinton and Obama either.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely not. Were you there because you were a strategist and you were speechwriting, as you said, for the first Bush, 41. Were you there in the run for the reelection as Mary Matlin was running that campaign?
Yes. She really wasn't running it. I was actually sort of an equal to her. We were a second tier.
Mm.
I mean, she was a bigger deal in a different department. But I went from the speech writing, and then I went over there, and I was the director very briefly, luckily, because it was just way too big of a job. And I did have two children, and I was completely overwhelmed. As the director of communications, that was really short, just because it was just opening and everything. And then I went and I was the liaison between the advertising team and the White House, which was just, so you're involved with everybody. But,
ooh.
But Teeter and Mosbacher, and Fred Malik were, you know, the figureheads or the heads. And then
right.
It was like Alix Glenn and Mary Matlin. And Mary Matlin was so in love with James Carville at the time, which nobody could understand. But that definitely affected the campaign as well.
Oh, you think there was a distract? She was distracted.
Well, yeah, and there were some personal, the memos that go back and forth, and the op-ed research that goes on, and something happens in one campaign, and the other campaign immediately reacts, and you know, she sometimes kind of went overboard, and she'd have to apologize, and I don't know. She was definitely distracted. It definitely affected her. It would be kind of hard to see how it possibly couldn't, since they got engaged, right? I mean, they got married right afterward.
Yeah.
absolutely on opposing sides. I don't know how they managed that. But Bush was really mad about the whole campaign. You know, he wasn't happy about it. But he, you know, and then there wasn't a Fox and there weren't any conservative, I don't know if conservative radio was as big then. But,
right.
You know, the mainstream media really would. You'd go to an event with him and I'd go, come on, Mr. President, we have to practice this, you know, just like going through things before the event. And it would go over great and you'd watch it on TV that night. And I swear, it would be like the other one took place in Mars or something, the way that
right.
they... So it was,
well,
it was
portrayed.
A creating thing.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you like him? He's a likable guy, isn't he?
I loved him.
Yeah.
Oh, he was, you know, and that was what was so maddening, and that was what was, it was what made it so heartbreaking. I mean, he cared so deeply, and he was so smart, and he knew exactly what was going on. And, you know, in a way, not as far as anything, you know, moderate or whatever that way, but Romney reminds me of him in one way, and that is that I think it's a New England thing. Like, you know, you're not really supposed to brag. You're not really supposed to use the word I. You're not, you know, like he had a hard time communicating too, in a way. And I think that Romney gets uncomfortable sometimes and he gets really criticized for it. But when you look at somebody like Obama, who now that he's in campaign mode and can sing songs about Chicago and, you know, but I mean, the whole time he was president, he was very aloof to the American people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's there's nothing like being on the inside, is there?
No, it's really different when you're on the inside. You're right. You're right. It's wild. It's because you just see how completely different everything is than the way that we see it. You know, just even the way that the White House works and how decisions are made and certainly in campaigns. So yeah, I guess I was lucky.
You were lucky. What was the best speech that you ever wrote for him, that you ever wrote for President Bush, that you ever worked on?
Well, I mean, you know what we did a lot was, I don't think any of mine really stood out that much because what I would do, a lot of the speeches were divided up. They really were. They, even, you know, the State of the Union, and he kind of liked how I would try to portray his sense of humor. And I definitely wanted to write the lighter one. So I wrote, I didn't do any heavy duty foreign policy except it didn't really matter because everything had to go through all the agencies. Like if anything had to do with, you know, the economy, it had to go through all of those agencies. And then if it had to do with, anything overseas, but I really did write the small, I was like the, not the weak link, but I was like a small fry in the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, I had a 4 and a 6 year old and I was just so honored to be part of them and to be part of the speeches. But it was just funny because I would always, you know, we'd go over them and he would try and he'd laugh when he'd read some of the things I wrote. And I wrote very serious ones too, but he, and then he'd try to say it and I'd go, oh my God, you can't even say it right. And, you know, so I can't really think of one in particular. The worst
bunch of
thing was that my entire place got destroyed, and it got destroyed in a flood flash fire, and I lost all of the papers, all of my work on it. So that was really depressing.
Oh, no kidding. Well, you're a delight to have on the show. Will you come on with us again, Tracy?
I was going to tell you that you're very blessed. You have the most amazing radio show. I've been looking it up today, and congratulations to you. And I would adore to come back. We didn't even talk about this, which was great. So I'll come back.
We'll do it again. We'll do it again. Tracy Davis, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events and, yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
Gas in Afghanistan really tipped the scales when it came to the amount of mail that I received over the weekend. Remember, if you want to vent, throw in your 2 cents. You can always send it to me at americatonight.net. Click on the email and bada bing, you are in. So without further ado, let's head to those emails.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Yes, we do have mail. Here's one from Allison who says, Kate, I can't stand these gas prices. You mention Chicago all the time, and I just giggle because I live outside of Chicago, and you are darn right, sister. It's ridiculous what we pay here, as much as they do in Los Angeles, and we don't even get the sunshine. Yeah. I think it has to do partially with the distance for refineries, although somebody that I was talking to over the weekend said, oh, no, that's not true. There's one that's not too far away. But it does have to do with the amounts and getting it in and out of the city and being in the Midwest versus being on, let's say, the Gulf Coast. Although, using that same argument, you could look at the prices in Florida and say, well, then why are they $5? And in California, forget about it. Los Angeles is a good comparison measuring stick because they end up paying the most in L.A. And guess who drives the most? They drive the most because they're idling a lot. They're stuck in traffic. And their commutes are usually long commutes, even if you're just one or two cities over. It's tough in L.A. You don't know what you're going to hit, even if you have that same daily road that you take, which is usually the 101 or 10 or one of the others. You still do not know. All right, let's go to another one here. This one's from Jake in Austin, who says, Kate, I think your suggestion about just biking is what I'm going to actually do because I live 5 miles from my place of employment. I think I could do 10 miles round trip unless it's raining or there's some unforeseen other type of weather. I'm going to try it. I'm going to get my rear end in shape And I'm going to do it. I'm going to ride the bike. So let's see how I do. I'll send photos for you to post to encourage the other listeners to ride their bike. Well, first of all, I was saying that sarcastically, knowing that most people are driving too far, that they can't, that's not really an option. For some people, maybe it is. I am seeing more bikes in some of these big cities. In D.C., they have that deal where you can get on a bike, which is pretty cool. You can get on a bike somewhere, and then you know what I'm talking about, where you return it to a rack, so you're renting the bike. It's just a method of transportation to get from one end of Washington, let's say Georgetown, up to where the Capitol is. But that's not realistic for most people either. It's probably more touristy, maybe students, depends. But I'm going to say there are bike-friendly places like Madison, Wisconsin. That's a great bike-friendly place. There are places outside of San Francisco that are super bike-friendly. And maybe you could ride a bike to work, but you'd have to still be in the situation like our man in Austin, where you're close to where, really close to where you work, because it's not, otherwise it's not really realistic. All right, here's one from Giles who says, "Hello, Ms. Delaney, long time no talk. I've been listening to the show, thoroughly enjoying it. I thought of you because of your connection to Texas. Did you hear about the flight attendant that went bonkers? What is the deal with that? Can you imagine being on that plane? What would your initial urge be when you hear a flight attendant saying, 'I'm not in charge of safety, and we're going to crash'?" I would just be bumming. I'd be thinking, you know, honestly, my first initial reaction, knowing how it is a lot of times when I get on planes, usually I have to be somewhere. So I'm thinking on the other end, oh, who am I inconveniencing? Oh, no, they're picking me up. This flight is not leaving because this nut has unloaded here. I guess I would probably, it would be alarming. It would be alarming. That my response would be that I would feel that kind of that heart in the throat thing, maybe initially, depending on how she said it. I mean, how agitated was she? She was described as being very agitated when she grabbed the public address system and the little microphone and said that, you know, the plane was going to crash. But how agitated was she? Was, you know, I don't know. It would be creepy. It would. And I'm sure that people that were sitting there were not excited at all about that. So what happened, to flush this out a little bit further, from what I understand, is they delayed the flight. Of course, it had to be delayed. Two flight attendants were taken to a Dallas hospital for treatment. They're not going to file any kind of criminal charges, and they're speculating she might have had a mental breakdown. The one passenger on the flight said that the flight attendant was describing herself as bipolar and kept saying she didn't take her medicine, so that it was something to do with medication maybe. And, you know, there was kind of this scuffle over control over the microphone. The passengers did jump in to subdue the flight attendant, the woman, and they did restrain her. They threw her into the first row of seats, and they held her down. Man, this is the thing. When you get on a plane now, it's all of us against whatever nutty thing might happen on the plane. I mean, in all seriousness, the way people respond now is amazing. Before, people sit in their seats, not paying attention necessarily to any of that kind of stuff. Now, you're jumping in. You are jumping in. I remember shortly after 9/11, because I was flying back and forth from Texas to the East Coast, to New York and to Philadelphia, and it was so sad, and everybody had, you could tell we were all carrying around the heaviness of the gravity of what's going on in our country, and the flights were Spartan. You know, you could lay across, I don't know how many seats, but it was probably the first time after I got back on to a flight, and it was less than a week after. And the guy said to me when I was walking down the aisle, he said, "Are you prepared to do what you might have to do?" And I was like, "You got it, brother. I guess so." And that was the attitude. So there we see with this flight attendant and some other things that have happened, immediately people are jumping up. They're responding to whatever's going on. So, I mean, this poor woman, she was perhaps bipolar, as she was telling the person on the flight, and she didn't take meds, and who knows what they knew or didn't know, but wow, she just really lost it to do that. So people did get off the ground, and nobody was in danger, and I guess that's the good news. They did what they had to do, but it is very odd to hear that. It would be very odd to hear that when you were sitting there, and it would plant that little seed in your head where you thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't get on this flight. All right, let's quickly roll through two others. This one from John in Vermont. Hello, America. Tonight, I wanted to weigh in on the situation in Afghanistan. So sad about the action of one who lost his stuffing on the impact it's going to have on the rest of the troops there. We need to get out now before it's too late. I've been saying that for a long time. Forget all this stuff that's happening now. It's just the where we're positioning ourselves, the rules of engagement, the things that have happened, like the assassination more recently of the two soldiers after the burnings of the Quran that were supposedly accidental, the repercussions of that for two guys who were just trying to help that government become more well-rounded in a mentoring program, just awful. And I think that more hell is going to rain down on some of the people that are there, yes. Here's one from JoJo saying, Afghanistan couldn't be more prickly, especially now. Too bad they couldn't have dumped this guy before it was too late. You got to figure something else was going on there. Although, honestly, he could have killed American soldiers. We might have had a repeat of the Major Hassan deal, and that would have been just as tragic. It would have been just as tragic, but equally as awful. And the worst possible scenario you could think of is an American soldier killing women and children and other people and wounding other people and methodically going into homes and shooting them and then setting bodies on fire. Are you kidding? Oh, that couldn't be worse. Any thoughts on the show? I'll say it again. We just did the mailbag. Send us your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Watch your language in front of the lady, punks!